This week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayechi, and we are going to focus our shir in the Bracha of Yehuda, which is in chapter 49, verse number 8 to verse number 13. But before we are going to do that, we are going to give a quick synopsis of what is happening on the Parsha. This last portion of the Parsha, Yaakov Avinu feels that he's about to die, and he tells his sons, gather together and I'll tell you what is going to happen in the end of days. Rashi explains that Yaakov Avinu was going to tell them about the Kates, normally translated about the end of times when Moshiach is going to come. Rashi explains further that when he wanted to disclose that, the divine prophecy left him, and he called the sons and he blessed them. Seemingly, Reuven and Shimon did not get a blessing. To Reuven, he said that even though you are the firstborn, but since you were hasty and since you moved my bed, therefore you will forfeit your right of firstborn, meaning what you're supposed to get extra, you are going to forfeit. Then he calls Shimon and Levi, and he gives them also what seems to be a rebuke, because he tells them that in your anger you destroyed the city of Shechem, and you also tried to uproot Yosef, and he goes further and curses their anger. And now we will start with chapter 49, verse number 8, where it's referring to the blessings of Yehuda. We'll first try to interpret these blessings according to Rashi, and then we'll add what the commentaries say. Pasuk number 8 starts, Yehuda, Yehuda, ato yoiducho achecho, you, your brothers, will praise. Rashi is bothered by the word you, meaning when he gives a blessing to Shimon and Levi, he doesn't refer to them in the second person, he refers to them in the third person. He says, Shimon and Levi achim, Shimon and Levi are brothers, but he doesn't talk to them directly. He talks to them as it would be in the third person. And here, Yehuda, ato yoiducho achecho, you, your brothers, will praise. Therefore, Rashi says that as soon as Yehuda heard that Reuven received a rebuke and Shimon and Levi received a rebuke, Yehuda started to walk backwards and was afraid that Yaakov is going to rebuke him because of what he did with Tamar, meaning that he had relations with his daughter-in-law, thinking that she was a harlot, and he thought that Yaakov Avinu is going to rebuke him for that. Therefore, Yaakov starts the blessings of Yehuda by saying, Yehuda, ato, you are different than the other brothers. You, yoiducho achecho, your brothers will praise. Yotcho be'orev oivecho, your hand will be in the nape of your enemy, meaning that you are going to defeat your enemies. Rashi says that this is referring to the days of David HaMelech, where in Shmuel Beis, chapter 22, there the pasuk brings the same language that David had his hand on the nape of his enemies. The pasuk continues and says, Ishtachavu lecha bnei avicha, that the sons of your fathers will bow down to you. Rashi first explains, why is it written the sons of your father, and it's not written the sons of your mother, as it's written in Bereshis chapter 27, verse 29, when Yitzchok gave the blessing to Yaakov, he says, Vishtachavu lecha bnei imecho, that the sons of your mother will bow down to you. Rashi answers that Yitzchok only had one wife, and the brothers were all from the same wife, meaning Esav was the son of Rivka. But Yaakov has multiple wives, he has four wives, and he wanted to tell Yehuda that all the other brothers will bow down to Yehuda. Therefore he chooses bnei avicha, the sons of your father, and not the sons of your mother, to include all the other tribes for bowing down to Yehuda. But Rashi does not explain when this is going to happen. When are the brothers going to bow down to Yehuda? Does it mean right now? Or it means in the future when David HaMelech is going to become king? The Rashbam doesn't like this interpretation that we gave on the word Yoiducha, which means praise, and he actually says that whoever translates Yoiducha as praise, this is a mistake, a shtus, a foolishness in his hand, meaning that this cannot be the translation of the word Yoiducha. Therefore, the Rashbam says that Yehuda, you, ato, Yoiducha, from the word hod, from the word glory, that you are going to be glorified, which means that the kingdom is going to come to you. And he brings the pasuk in Daniel, where Daniel says, Veronosnu olav hoid malchus, they did not give the glory of kingdom. And he also brings a proof from a pasuk referring to Shlomo Melech that says, hoid malchus, the glory of kingdom. Therefore he says that Yehuda, you are meritorious of kingdom, that you are going to become king. And he says that Yoiducha comes from the word Yehoiducha, that they will give you glory. In the same way that we say a person is going to say Hoidu Lashem, we say Yoidu Lashem. So Yoiducha comes from the word Yehoiducha, and it means that you are worthy to become king. And the Sephardim seems to substantiate this idea, because the Sephardim says that originally Reuven was supposed to be king, but since Reuven moved the father's bed and was very impetuous, therefore he lost the kingship. Then the kingship should have gone to Shimon and Levi, because they are the next in line. But since they also did something wrong, the kingdom was removed from them. But Yehuda, you, ato yoiducho achecho, you deserve to get the glory of being the king, because you didn't do anything wrong, and you are online to becoming king. But we see from here that the word Yoiducha, according to the Sephardim, is also translated as worthy of becoming king. And the Rashbam interpretations of this referring to kingdom fits very well, because Rashi himself, on Yotcho Bo'oire Feivecho, your hand is in the nape of your enemies, says that it's referring to David HaMelech. Then the whole pasuk is referring to the right of kingdom, which is going to start with David HaMelech. The Or HaChaim HaKodesh gives a different interpretation, and the Or HaChaim HaKodesh is bothered by the word ato, you, yoiducho achecho, your brothers will become king. If you are talking to Yehuda, why say ato? Also, the Or HaChaim is bothered by the lack of the connecting vav, meaning Yotcho Boir Vavecho should be written Ve'yotcho, and your hand is going to be in the nape of your enemies, and Ve'ishtachavu Lecho Bnei Avicho, that the sons of your father will bow down to you, should be connected with the letter Vav, meaning and the sons of your father will bow down to you. Therefore, the Or HaChaim HaKodesh says that the prophecy regarding Yehuda is not referring to the future as the other prophecies for the other brothers. The prophecy regarding Yehuda refers to Yehuda himself. You are going to become a leader on your brothers. That is why it's written the word Ata, you, yourself. As it's written in Divrei Hayomim, Yehuda Giber Be'echav, Yehuda was stronger than his brothers. And the Or HaChaim continues and says that what it's written, Yotcha Bo'er Feivecho, means to say that when your hand is going to be in the nape of your enemies, meaning at the time of David HaMelech, where he is going to subjugate his enemies, then Ishtachavu Lecho Bnei Avicho, the sons of your fathers are going to bow down to you. Meaning, only then that is going to happen. Therefore, it's not written the Vav, because it wants to separate that right now you are the strongest one, but in the future, when your hand is going to be in the nape of your enemies, meaning you are going to subjugate them, that is the time when the sons of your fathers are going to bow to you. The Kli Yoker gives a different interpretation. He says that Yehuda, ato, because your name is Yehuda, and your name means admission, and you admitted for the story of Tamar, and you said Tzotko Mimeni, that she became impregnated by you, and you were not ashamed. Therefore, Yoiducho Achecho, when you are going to appoint a king, the Jewish people are going to admit that David HaMelech is worthy to become king. Because you were not ashamed, so too they will not be ashamed to say that David HaMelech deserves to be king. Sefer Berach Moshe gives almost the same interpretation as the Kli Yakor, but he uses a different twist, and that gives us an important lesson how to behave and what we have to do nowadays. Meaning that he first brings the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Tzadik Beis Amud Aleph 92a, where the Gemara there says, Omar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Achmani, Omar Rabbi Yonason, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Achmani says in the name of Rabbi Yonason, Mai Dichsif, what is the meaning of the Pasuk, meaning, what's the meaning of the connection that is written in Devarim, chapter 33, verse number 6, and that is in the middle of Vezoisa Bracha, the blessings that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to the Jewish people. And there it says, Yechi Reuven, let Reuven live, Val Yomois, and he should not die, Vihim Esav Mispor, and let his numbers be counted among the Jewish people. And right afterwards it says, Vezois Li Yehuda, and this is to Yehuda, meaning the Gemara wants to understand why is Yehuda written right after Reuven, what is the connection between Yehuda and Reuven. And the Gemara answers that all the 40 years that the Jewish people were in the deserts, the bones of Yehuda were rattling in his coffin. And the reason for this happening is that since Yehuda had promised Yaakov in Bereshis chapter 43, verse number 9, Anoichi Arvenu, I will be a guarantor for him, Miyadi Tevakshenu, that you should ask for Binyamin from me, Im lo yehavioisi velecho, Veitzaktiv lefanecho, if I will not bring him back and put him in front of you, Vechatosi lecho kol hayomim, and I will sin for you all the days of my life, meaning that Yaakov Avinu was afraid to send Binyamin down to Egypt because he is the only son left from Rachel. Yehuda guaranteed for him, and Yehuda said that if I don't bring him back, then I will sin for you all the days of my life, and Rashi brings down, that means even Lo'ilam Haba, that I will be banished even from the world to come. And there are two different opinions of what happened to Binyamin, meaning that according to the opinion of the Shecher Toiv, of the Tur, and of the Barbanel, Binyamin never came back to Knan, meaning that after Yosef HaTzadik disclosed himself to his brothers, and he asked to bring Yaakov down to Egypt, they didn't bother to take Binyamin back to Knan. Therefore, according to this opinion, Yehuda never fulfilled his obligation of bringing him back to the land of Canaan. True that no harm came to Binyamin, but that wasn't the promise that Yehuda made. Yehuda made a promise that he'll bring him back and stand him up in front of Yaakov, and that never happened. Therefore, according to these interpretations, the bones of Yehuda were still waggling in the coffin, meaning that he wasn't put together because of his promise to be banished. According to other opinions, and that is the opinion of Rabbeinu Bachya, Dor HaChaim, they say that Binyamin did go back, but we have a saying that when a tzaddik decrees something, even conditionally, it comes true. And since Yehuda, that if he doesn't bring back Binyamin, then he'll be banished. Even though he brought Binyamin back, nonetheless, he's banished. Therefore, the bones of Yehuda were rattling in the coffin, until Moshe Rabbeinu decided to pray for Yehuda, and he said, Hashem, who caused for Reuven to admit that he moved the father's bed? Who is that? Yehuda, meaning that after Reuven heard from Yehuda that Yehuda said, Tzotko Mimeni, that he admitted that he did this shameful act, that he had relations with Tamar, that caused Reuven to admit that he had moved the father's bed. That until Yehuda admitted that he had relations with Tamar and he did this shameful act, Reuven did not admit that he did that. But once Yehuda admitted, that caused Reuven to admit. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu prayed that that merit that caused Reuven to admit, that should stand by Yehuda, that he should become whole, that his bones should not rattle anymore in the coffin. Tosfos asks a question on this Gemara and says that it cannot be that Yehuda is the one that caused Reuven to repent, because we see that Reuven repented even before the story of Tamar. And Tosfos brings the Medrash Rabbah in Parsha Pei Dalet, Siman Yud Tes, 84:19, on the Pasuk on Bereishis, chapter 37, verse number 29, where we are selling Yosef. There the Pasuk says, Vayoshev Reuven Halabar. Reuven comes back to the pit, Vihine Ein Yosef Babar, and behold, Yosef is not in the pit. Rashi asks a question, where was Reuven during the sale, that it says that Reuven came back to the pit. Rashi, on his second answer, says that Reuven was busy repenting with his sackcloth because he moved his father's bed. Therefore, Reuven wasn't present at the sale of Yosef. Then Tosfos asks a question, if that is true, then we see that Reuven repented even before Yehuda had relations with Tamar. Because right after the sale of Yosef, on chapter 38, verse number 1, there the Pasuk says, Vahi bo'es ahi, it was in this time, Vayered Yehuda, and Yehuda went down, Me'is Achiv, from his brothers. Rashi asks a question, why is the Parsha of Yehuda close to the Parsha of Yosef? Rashi answers that they downgraded Yehuda, meaning that they were upset at Yehuda, that Yehuda told the brothers to sell Yosef. If Yehuda would have told the brothers to give Yosef back to his father, they would have listened to Yehuda. Therefore, Yehuda had a downgrading, and Yehuda went out, and he married, and he had children, and his children died, and then was the story of Tamar, and then Yehuda said, Sot Kamimeni. Then, obviously, this story happened after the story of the sale of Yosef. Then, the question that Tosfos asks is, how can you say that Reuven only admitted, because Yehuda admitted Reuven's tshuva, Reuven's repentance was much before Yehuda's admission, then how can you say that this is the reason why Reuven admitted? Tosfos there gives a different answer, but the Eitz HaChaim in Parshas Zois HaBracha gives a different answer based on the Gemara in Yuma Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara in Yuma Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis says that there is two kinds of tshuva, repentance. There is tshuva mehava, tshuva out of love, and there is tshuva meyira, tshuva out of fear or awe, meaning that you are afraid of the punishment that you are going to get. That is the reason why you repent. And tshuva mehava is when you repent because you realize how much Hashem does for you and how much you love Him and how can you do something bad against Hashem. The difference between tshuva mehava and tshuva meyira, tshuva out of love and tshuva out of fear, is that if you do tshuva out of fear, your purposeful sins become as mistakes, not as strong as purposeful sins, but nonetheless, they are still considered a mistake. But if you do tshuva out of love, then zedoinos nase zochios, then whatever you do on purpose becomes merits, because without that sin, you couldn't get the merit of doing the tshuva. Therefore, that sin becomes as merits. Then the Eitz HaChaim brings the Ismach Moshe on Parshas Hazinu, where the Ismach Moshe says that Rabim Hoisim tshuva, that if multiple people are doing tshuva, then Afilu Oisim Eira, even though they are doing tshuva out of fear, Gamken Nasalem Kizachos, Hashem views that tshuva as it would have been a complete tshuva, and the sins that they had becomes merits. Meaning that normally, if you make a sin and you repent out of fear, that sin becomes as happenstance, but if you have multiple people doing tshuva, Hashem views the merit of the multiple people, and Hashem transforms those sins into merits. And the Eitz HaChaim adds to that and says that since Tosfos in Masechtas Gittin, Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph 46a, Divrei Maschil Rav says that Shnaim Mikre Rabim, that two people are already considered multiple people, then comes out that if two people do tshuva together, even though they are doing tshuva out of fear and normally their purposeful sin will become happenstance, nonetheless, if two people are doing tshuva together, Hashem views it as it would be complete tshuva, and the purposeful sins become merits. According to this, the Eitz HaChaim answers Tosfos' question by saying that it could be that Reuven did tshuva. Reuven repented, as Rashi says, that Reuven came back to the pit, that Reuven was busy repenting. But his repentance was a tshuva meyira, tshuva out of fear or out of awe. But since his tshuva was out of fear, then his purposeful sin became happenstance. But that happenstance, that shgagois, is still there and it's still considered a sin. But now that Yehuda said Tzot Kamimani, Yehuda admitted his sin, and after Yehuda admitted his sin, Reuven also admitted his sin. Now both of them together did tshuva. Once both of them together do tshuva, then Reuven's sin becomes totally expunged, because as we explained from the Yismach Moshe, when Rabim, which is considered two or more, do tshuva, repent, then even the purposeful sins, and even if the repentance is only out of fear, still become merits. Now the sin is completely expunged. Then Moshe Rabbeinu argued that what caused for Reuven's sins to be completely expunged? Yehuda. Yehuda is the one that caused that Yechi Reuven ve'al yomos, that Reuven should live and not die, because up to that point, Reuven had the sin, even though it wasn't such a great sin, because of his repentance out of fear, but was still a sin. But now that Yehuda admitted, now Reuven's sin is completely expunged, because it turns to be merits. Therefore, Yehuda now deserves that his bones should not be rattling in the grave. The Berach Moshe now brings Eger D'Chala on Parshas Re'eh, where the Eger D'Chala is wondering, how is it possible that we should have merits to cause our enemies to be subjugated, to cause our enemies to be destroyed? And his question is based on the idea that when you make a mitzvah, the mitzvah is so complete and it creates something so good that it could only work for the good. And when you make a sin, that corruption and that destruction that happened could only be created for destruction. Then he asks, how is it possible that we should merit to destroy our enemies? If we do a mitzvah, then obviously that mitzvah, since it's something so good, cannot cause the destruction even of our enemies. And if we do an Aveira, that sin is so bad that it cannot cause our salvation, could only cause bad things. Then how is it possible that we should be able to overcome our enemies? If we make good deeds, that causes only goodness to come to the world, even goodness for our enemies. And if we make bad deeds, then that causes even badness for us. Then how is it possible that our merits should be able to conquer our enemies? The Eger D'Chala explains that the only way it's possible is if you do a sin, and then you do tshuva me'ahava, you do tshuva out of love. The fact that you did a sin, that causes badness to come to the world, and through that should be bad for you, but since you repented afterwards, then that repentance will cause good for you. Then we have now a dilemma. The repentance causes good, but yet you committed a sin, and the sin is something bad. Then Hashem causes that that badness should go into your enemy, and the goodness should come to you. Then that is the only way, the Eger D'Chala says, that you are able to overcome your enemies. If you do tshuva out of love, then that sin causes badness, and that badness it will go to your enemy. But you'll be protected, because once you did tshuva, you did goodness, and that goodness will go to you. According to this, Sefer Berach Moshe explains that this is the meaning of our pasuk. The pasuk starts, Yehuda ato, you admitted first. In other words, you're the one who admitted. You said, Tzot Kamimani, she became pregnant through me. By your admission, you caused Yoiducho Achecho, that your brother admitted too. That because you said, Tzot Kamimani, your brother Reuven admitted that he moved the father's bed. Then both of you did tshuva, even though Reuven's tshuva was out of fear, but now it's considered tshuva out of love. And as the Eger D'Chala explains, when you make tshuva out of love, Hashem destroys your enemies, because then you have the sin which causes something bad, and you have the tshuva that causes something good. Therefore, yatcha b'oirev evecha, you caused that you are going to be able to have your hand in the nape of your enemies. meaning that you'll be able to destroy your enemies. Once you'll be able to do that, then you'll merit to have Ishtach Avolucho Bnei Avicho, that the sons of your father will bow down to you. Then you'll merit to have kingdom, because you are able to destroy the enemies through the power that you caused to do tshuva, me'ahava, tshuva out of love, because you and Reuven joined for tshuva, and therefore you have the merit to destroy the enemies, and once you destroy the enemies, they will give you the kingdom. The Rabbeinu Bachya brings a different interpretation. He says that Yehuda, ato yoiducho achecho, that because your name is Yehuda, and inside your name is the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, because Yehuda comprises of the name of Hashem and the Dalet, therefore your brothers will praise you because they always praise Hashem. And Rabbeinu Bach explains, why is there a Dalet in the name of Yehuda? Rabbeinu Bach here gives two different answers. The first answer he gives, that since Yehuda was the fourth child, meaning Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, therefore the Dalet, which is numerical value 4, is in the name of Yehuda. And the second answer, he says that since the kingdom of David HaMelech is written in Tehillim chapter 89 verse 37, V'kisoi kashemesh negdi, that the throne of David HaMelech is like the sun, and the sun is in the fourth heaven, therefore Yehuda has a Dalet. Because since out of Yehuda is going to come David HaMelech, and David HaMelech is signified as the sun, and the sun is in the fourth heaven, therefore the name of Yehuda received the Dalet. Pasuk continues, Gur Aryeh Yehuda, Akob, a lion, is Yehuda. Rashi says that this is referring to David HaMelech, which was like a young cub in the days of Shaul, meaning that he wasn't really a king. He was anointed king, but while Shaul was alive, he wasn't yet the king, but he's like a young king, and then he becomes an Aryeh, a full lion, meaning he becomes king when everybody accepts him as king after the death of Shaul. Miteref b'ni Alisa, from what I suspected that you tore my son, Alisa, you removed yourself, meaning that after I saw the shirt of Yosef, and I said in chapter 37, verse number 33, Chayera achalosu, a wild animal ate Yosef, Toroif Toiraf Yosef, Yosef has been torn up, and the Gur Aryeh explains that Yaakov Avinu suspected Yehuda for being the one that caused Yosef harm. Because since Yehuda was destined to become king, and Yosef's dream were about him becoming king, therefore Yaakov's main suspect was Yehuda. But now he sees that Miteref, from what I suspected you of tearing up Yosef, Bni Alisa, my son, you have gone up, meaning that you removed yourself because you said, Mabetza ki nahargu, what are we going to gain? That we are going to kill Yosef. Then Rashi continues and says that it is not only referring to the story of Yosef HaTzadik, it is also referring to the story of Tamar, meaning that Yehuda said when Tamar was found pregnant, Tzotko Mimeni, that you are right, that she became pregnant from me, and that caused the saving of Tamar and her two unborn children, Peretz and Zerach. And that is what is referring Miteref b'ni, from the tearing up of my children, Alisa, you removed yourself, which is referring to the children of Yehuda himself. Because the Sifsei Chachamim explains, if we hold only by the first interpretation of Rashi, which is referring only to Yosef HaTzadik, then Miteref b'ni, from tearing up my son, it's referring to Yosef. And it's not proper to say to Yehuda, Miteref b'ni, when you're only referring to somebody else, because you're calling Yosef my son and not Yehuda my son. Therefore, the Sifsei Chachamim says that Rashi had to give the other interpretation, that it is also referring to Yehuda. You could say that Rashi has to give the other interpretation because otherwise the finishing of the Pasuk has absolutely no connection. Because in the finishing of the Pasuk it says, Kora Ravatz Ko Aryeh, that he crouched down and lays down like a lion, uchalav im miyakimeno, in like an awesome lion, who will rouse him, which according to Rashi, it refers to the time of Shlomo HaMelech, when the Jewish people are going to be at rest and there isn't going to be any war facing the Jewish people, as it's written in Melachim Aleph, chapter 5, that Ishtachas Gafnoi, Ishtachas Teinosoi, that each person is going to be under his vine and each person is going to be under his fig tree. And this works very well if I say that this is connected to his children, meaning that if Miterev Bni Aliso, if from destroying your children, you abstain yourself, then it's very good that Mido Keneged Mido, because you saved your children, eventually your great-grandchildren will merit to have peace, because Shlomo HaMelech comes from the children of Yehuda. But if I say that it is connected to Yosef, meaning that Miterev Bni means that from destroying, from tearing up Yosef, you abstained yourself, then what is the connection that Shlomo HaMelech is going to have peace in his days? How is that connected to the story of Yosef? Therefore, Rashi brings down the idea that Miterev Bni Aliso means both, means Yosef Atzadik, and also means the children of Tamar. The Rabbeinu Bachya says in the same idea, and he explains that Miterev Bni Aliso as Rashi, that it refers to Yosef Atzadik, that Yosef was saved from being torn up by Yehuda, because Yehuda said Mabetza, and Tamar and her two sons, Peretz and Zerach, were saved from the fire, and he said that Mido Keneged Mido, because Yosef was saved from the pit, Hashem made that Daniel will be saved from the pit. And because Yehuda saved Tamar and her two sons, Peretz and Zerach, from the fire, therefore, in merit of that, Hashem saved Hananiah, Mishael, Vazariah, the three prophets that were thrown in the pit of fire by Nebuchadnezzar, from being killed because of the merit of Yehuda. Meaning, what Yehuda did by saving Yosef from the pit, therefore, Daniel, when he was thrown on the pit of lion, was saved. And the fact that he saved Tamar and her two children from the fire, Mido Keneged Mido, measure for measure, his great-grandchildren, Hananiah, Mishael, Vazariah, which come from Yehuda, were also saved from the pit of fire, and all was from the merit of Yehuda. The Kli Yakar explains like Rashi, and the Kli Yakar says that even though you are a lion and you are strong, nonetheless, Miterev Bni Aliso, when it came to destroy Yosef, you abstained yourself and you were able to crouch down and control your inner urges and not do what you wanted to do against Yosef. Meaning that even though you had intentions to kill Yosef and you had the power because you are signified as a lion, nonetheless, you decided to control that power and you crouched and you didn't harm him physically. The Rashbam does not like this interpretation, and he goes further again and is very sharp and says that whoever translates the words Miterev Bni Aliso from tearing up my son, you have come up, as in regards to Yosef, the Rashbam says, Lo yada pshuto shel pasuk v'loy bechiluk tamim klal, he doesn't know the simple interpretation of a pasuk and he doesn't understand the trap of the psukim, because the trap of the pasuk, the cantillation, is Miterev Bni Aliso and not Miterev Bni Aliso. The comma comes after the word teref, not after the word bni. Then it can't mean from tearing up my son you have abstained, because then the trap should have said Miterev Bni Aliso, from the tearing up of my son you have come up, you have abstained. Therefore, the Rashbam says that Miterev, that only after you are going to destroy your enemies, only after you are going to be victorious at war, then Bni Aliso, then you'll be able to come up and then you'll be able to have a restful life. Up to the point that you are fighting, then you're not going to have a restful life. But Miterev, after you destroy, after you tear up your enemies, then Bni Aliso, then you'll be able to come up and have a beautiful life, and then Kora Ravaskari, then you'll be able to have tranquility, and then you won't have to go again and fight. Tadazaken mi Baalto Yisod says that from the words Gur Arya Yehuda, the initials of the words is Gimel Aleph Yud, and that is numerical value 14, because a Gimel is a 3, the Aleph is a 1, the Yud is a 10, that's 14, and this is alluding to David HaMelech, because David is also numerical value 14, because the Dalet is 4, the Vav is 6, that's 10, and the other Dalet is 4, that's 14, that is alluding to David HaMelech, and he previously says that the word Yehuda is numerical value 30, because the Yud is 10, the He is 5, that's 15, the Vav is 6, that's 21, the Dalet is 4, that's 25, and the He is 5, that's 30, and it's alluding to the 30 kings that came out of Yehuda. So he explains that Gur Ari Yehuda is alluding to David HaMelech and the 30 kings that are coming out of Yehuda, and that Dazakeni Baltoises explains that the next sentence of the Pasuk is trying to explain when and how did David HaMelech get the courage to become king, what made them become king, and the answer is that he became king when he went to fight Goliath. In Shmuel Aleph, chapter 17, where Goliath makes fun of the Jewish people, David HaMelech goes to Shaul and asks him to fight him. Shaul says, "What experience do you have?" Then David HaMelech says that when the sheep were taken by a lion or by a bear, there in chapter 17, verse number 35, David HaMelech says, "Gam esoari, gam esadoif, hiko avdecha," that also the lion and also the bear I killed, meaning I protected my sheep by killing a lion and a bear, that gave David HaMelech guts and courage to go fight Goliath. And according to the Dazakenim, that's what it means. Miteref, from tearing up the lion and the bear, Bni Aliso, you have gone up, you received glory, you received the kingdom, and that how it starts the kingdom of Yehuda. The Rachaim HaKodesh here and the Rachaim HaKodesh in Parshas Kisetze give the same concept. The Rachaim says that when Adam HaRishon sinned, sparks went out from his neshama and went out all over the world. And these sparks of holiness want to get back to the holiness, wants to get back to the fold of the Jewish people. There is two ways for the sparks to get back. One, by itself, that the spark desires holiness, therefore the spark, that neshama, that person, comes out and joins the Jewish people. That is the concept of converts, says the Rachaim here. Or the spark could be gathered by connecting themselves with holy people. Meaning that if holy people come next to the spark, then that holiness in that person becomes awakened, and the spark wants to join that holiness, meaning it wants to depart from that body and go into the holiness, go into the Jewish person. A lot of times, the spark is totally captive, and the spark cannot go out unless it does an action which causes that spark to come out to the world. And that's how he explains the idea of Dinah being raped by Shechem, that Shechem had one of the sparks. As a matter of fact, the Shem Mishmul says that the initials of Baruch Shem Kevoit Malchusoi Noilam Voet, the words that we say after the Shema every day, the initials are Bishchem Lamedvav, that in Shechem was one of the 36 sparks. And if you watch what happened to the rape between Dinah and Shechem, they had a child. The child was Asnas. Asnas marries Yosef, and Yosef has two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Then comes out that out of Shechem comes out two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, because Shechem had these holy sparks. And as a matter of fact, he dies as a Jew, because he does a circumcision, and then the brothers of Dinah kill him. And the Rachaim brings proof that this was a soul connection, not a physical connection, because on the story of Dinah, on chapter 34, verse number 3, it says, "Vatidbak nafshoi bedina bas Yaakov," that his soul became connected to Dinah. Meaning that since Shechem had the spark, then his soul was totally connected to Dina, and he had no choice but to do something in order to release that spark. Then the Ora Chaim says and explains that evilness could also keep those sparks trapped. Therefore, you see that the more despicable the person is, the holier the soul is captured by him. Therefore, by his action, even though it's a sinful action, that action could bring forth the purest of sparks, the purest of souls. And that is how the Ora Chaim HaKadosh explains the idea of Lot having relations with his older daughter, which the Gemara writes down that she was brazen, she had more chutzpah. From that relation comes out the purest of souls, which is Ruth HaMoaviah. True that the other daughter also merited to have a pure soul, merited to have Noamah, which marries Shlomo HaMelech, but we owe here mostly about Ruth, which was the most pure, the most holy soul, and this was trapped by the evil, and only through doing the evil that soul could come out. And that is what the Ora Chaim explains means Be'ikves de Mashiach, in the heels of Moshiach, meaning that Moshiach could only come when you do an action that is considered a heel, that is considered sinful and not proper. Because otherwise, the evilness will not release that spark from it. According to this, the Ora Chaim explains that this is what happened to Yehuda and Tamar, that evilness had this spark, which is the spark of Peretz and Zerach, trapped, and only through doing a sinful act, only that way could that spark be released. Therefore, according to the Medrash, Hashem sent an angel to force Yehuda to have relations with his daughter-in-law, make a sinful act. True that Yehuda did not know that this was his daughter-in-law, he did not know that it is sinful, but nonetheless, through that sinful act, they were able to release that spark which represents Peretz and Zerach, the spark of Moshiach, to come to the world. Without that sinful act, evilness would not allow that spark to be released. Therefore, they had to make an evil action in order to release that spark. And according to this, the Ora Chaim says that this is how Yaakov consoled Yehuda. Yehuda was upset that he had relations with his daughter-in-law. Therefore, Yaakov says, Miteref, from that tearing up, from that sinful act, Bni Aliso, my son, you have gone up, meaning that you merited to have Malchus from that sinful act. That sinful act caused the release of holiness in Peretz and Zerach. From that action, you're able to get Malchus, to get kingdom. From something evil, you're able to take something holy and something good. And Hashem Yisborach should help that since we are discussing Moshiach, we should merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, v'imhero b'yomeinu, Amen.